I hope that you all got to see Katie do the little waddle off of the stage that she did. That was awesome. If not, sorry you missed it. Maybe you'll be able to catch it next time. But what I hope that you did not miss, that transition, was the eclipse this last Monday. While the crowds coming into Bloomington may have not been what we expected, the eclipse did not disappoint. It was beautiful. And as a church, we were able to open up our parking lot. We invited people from all over to join us, whether in our community or people that were coming in from out of state. And I had so much fun just walking around, introducing myself, meeting people. And I'd ask them a few different questions. Where are you from? What brought you to Bloomington? And then specifically, what brought you to Sherwood Oaks? And it was really cool just to hear them share their stories. And I met folks from California, Seattle, Washington, Maryland, Toronto, 20 different states represented, and then people from our neighborhoods coming and joining us. It was really great to see. And then someone took this picture that I thought was pretty cool, just of the eclipse right there over the church. And I think that Steve Dyer, who helped coordinate and lead this event, he captured well why we wanted to open up our parking lot for our community. He said, while other organizations are barricading and charging, we are opening up for people from all over to be welcomed into the church, to hopefully show and share the love of Jesus with them. And so instead of charging, we offered, if you want to make a donation to Habitat for Humanity to go towards a build that we were doing for one of our Iglesia Hispana families. And so through that, and people's generosity who came, we raised close to $2,500 to go to their house. Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome. So let me pray as we dive in today. God, may we truly be that church that instead of putting up barricades, we tear them down. Instead of putting up walls that keep people from you, we are part and we are instrumental in removing those so that it is free and clear for them to be able to find and follow Jesus the way that we have. Lord, may we not do anything that gets in the way of what you want to do in people's lives. And I pray that even for this moment right now. Not only that is who we will be as a church that opens and that welcomes people as we are, but that, Lord, you, through your influence in us, will begin to change us from the inside out to make us the people that you desire for us to be, to bring your kingdom closer to earth. And so may we be about that. And Lord, may your spirit do that even here in this moment in us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever thought to yourself, you know, everyone is annoying but me. Anybody? The nervous laughter maybe gives it away. You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that. But I will tell you, as I've shared the title of today's sermon with people over the last few months, it gets that same reaction of, oh, I feel seen. Because we do think that sometimes. And maybe if we don't think it, I imagine that at some point or another, all of us have certainly felt it. Everyone is annoying but me. And if people would just think like I think and do what I did, then the world would be such a better place, or at least my world would be such a better place. We think that life would just be easier if people stopped being so annoying, if they stopped doing those things that bother us. And when we do that, we give very little thought to those ways that sometimes we can be annoying to others, ways that our words and our actions can sometimes offend those around us, those things that we do that might anger others, because we are consumed by all the things that other people do to anger us. And let's be honest, you don't have to do much to anger or offend people these days, and people really don't have to do much to anger or offend us, right? We talked about this last week. Anger seems to be our default setting. And I think that it has been that default setting all the way since Genesis chapter 3 and the fall. At the fall, sin entered into our world and it created this brokenness in our relationship with God. And so now we don't act or react in the way that God designed us to act and react. We don't treat others the way that God designed us to treat others. But not only does sin break our relationship with God, it also breaks our relationship with each other. And so we walk around and we can become very easily offended by one another, by the things that we do and the things that we say. And doesn't it feel like this default setting to be offended and angry and annoyed, doesn't it feel like in our culture right now that default setting is just like on overdrive? It's like all of them are on and we are experiencing it. It's like everyone is walking around with a chip on their shoulder. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Like a chip on their shoulder. It was coined in the U.S. sometime in the 19th century. Boys would go around the playground because this is what boys do. And they would, let me put that back. They would pick up a chip and they'd put it on their shoulder. And they'd walk around and they would dare someone to try to knock it off. And it was their way of saying that they were looking for a fight. Maybe God, I mean, this is a great sermon illustration because where I'm getting is that God wants to come and knock that chip off of our shoulder. And so that's what he's doing right now. So I'm not even gonna try to put it back up. But that's what they would do. They would put that chip on their shoulder and walk around. And it was this invitation for a fight. And if anyone came and tried to knock that chip off of their shoulder, then they would take that as an offense and be ready to throw fists. And most of us, we don't walk around in life looking for a fight. But I know a lot of people who walk around looking to be offended, looking to be angry by something or by someone. And I would say that our culture has not trained us to have a chip on our shoulder, but a lumber yard. Like we walk around, not with that tiny little chip saying, I dare you to knock it off and offend me. We put all of these things on our shoulders to make it really, really easy for someone to come alongside and just even bump into us and knock it off. And now we're ready to go. We get bothered and annoyed and frustrated and angry by so many different things, big and small, that it looks a lot more like this pile than it does that chip. And this is the default setting of our culture because it is the default setting of our heart. And only Jesus can change it. Only Jesus can remove that lumberyard of offense that we want to carry around. Only Jesus can free us from the weight of it. Because these things that we are talking about in this series, anger and offense and judgmental attitudes, these are issues of the heart. And only Jesus has the power to change our hearts. We're in week 2 of our series, Default Settings. If you have a Bible or Bible app that you like to use, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We kicked off our series last week by looking at some scriptures in Matthew chapter 5. And as we kind of went through them and studied them, one of the conclusions that we came to is that anger is not about what is happening out there, but what is happening in here. Anger is about what is happening in our heart. But what we want to do is we want to make it about everyone else. We want to think that our anger is about them and not me. That if they would just stop being so annoying, then I would stop being so angry. And so it's easy to see this attitude in others. But when we are constantly looking for it in others, it's also very easy for us to miss that attitude in us. I think it's why we saw last week Jesus in our text, 3 times he says, if anyone is angry, if anyone says raka, if anyone, you know, lashes out, like he says, if anyone 3 times, but then he turns it later on in the passage and he says, but you, if anyone 3 times, but if you, six times. Because when we hear, if anyone, and when it comes to anger, we think of everyone else and the anger that they have, and we miss it inside of us. And Jesus wants us to see that anger and offense and judgmental attitudes, those things aren't just in others. They reside deep in our hearts as well. As we follow Jesus, as we worship him, as the Holy Spirit does his work to make us more like Jesus, he begins to come in and change that default setting inside of us. And we come face to face, not just with all of the ways that we are offended, all of the ways that other people are angry. We come face to face with our own anger, with our own offense, with our own judgmental spirits. And Jesus then says, if you find that you have offended someone, it's on you to go out and make it right. But we don't like that. We just want to focus on all the ways that we have been offended. But Jesus says, no, when you realize that you are just as offensive as others are offensive, it's on us to go out and make it right. But when we walk around believing that everyone's annoying but to me, we feel like it's our job not to make it right, but to make them right. We feel like it's our job to fix them or get back at them, to make them less annoying by convincing them that we are right and they are wrong, which isn't annoying at all, is it? We feel like it's our job to belittle them or get back at them for all of the ways that they have hurt or angered or offended us. But as Jesus does the hard work of heart work in us, we realize that we are really good at hurting others too. And all those things in others that annoy us, man, they're inside of us as well. So if you walk around in life looking for a fight, looking to be offended, you don't have to look very hard. It's out there. You're going to find it. But if you're looking for freedom from that kind of life, don't look out there. Look in here. Let Jesus change that default setting, and you will find freedom from anger and offense that our world is drowning in. And as Jesus transforms you, you are going to start to see yourself and others differently. You will find that you become more offended by your sin than you do the sin of others. That you will desire to allow God to deal with your heart rather than feeling like it's your job to go out and deal with everyone else's heart. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in our text today. Look at it with me. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, maybe a verse that's familiar to us, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." I think in a lot of ways, this is a passage that is becoming more quoted in our society than things like John 3:16 or Deuteronomy 6:4. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye. First, take that plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And Jesus uses hyperbole here in our text and gives this image that we look, go around and we try to take those little specks out of everybody else's eye, and meanwhile, we've got this big old 2x4, right? Like that's sticking out of our own. And he says, no, first, like if you want to do anything for anyone else, you first got to look and see, how can I remove this? Realize that you have something in your eye too. And oftentimes it might be a whole lot bigger and more than what's in anyone else's. And I don't think that Jesus is telling us here that we should not make discerning judgment calls on what is right and what is wrong, on what is truth and what is a lie, that we should not just give a blanket, you know, a condoning to anything that anybody wants to do without judging what is right and wrong according to Scripture. But I think what he is saying is that we are to judge rightly without being judgmental of others. And in this text, Jesus is warning us against being characterized by a judgmental attitude where we are quick to judge the actions and attitudes of others without taking a look at our own heart first. Quick to judge the sins of others without taking our own sin seriously. That's where the hypocrisy is in this text. And when we look at our own hearts first, what we find is that there is just as much sin and brokenness inside of us as there is inside of anyone else. We see the ways that we have offended others. We see the ways that our actions have caused brokenness and pain in their life too. And when we understand the sin that is inside of us, then all of a sudden we become a little bit more gracious and forgiving, have a little bit more empathy towards the sin that's inside of others. And again, it doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye or that we condone all the actions. It means that we become more gracious and generous towards them because we see it in us too. I think what Jesus is saying is judge others the way that you want to be judged. And all of us want others to judge us and our actions on mercy instead of justice because we don't always get it right. And in those moments when we realize that we don't, man, don't you want someone to, instead of giving you the bird, say, hey, it's okay. Yeah, sometimes I miss a stop sign too. We want someone to judge us with mercy and compassion rather than with judgment and justice because we don't always get it right. And so we then ought to learn how to be gracious and generous with others who don't always get it right either. We want empathy and compassion when we make a mistake, but we typically receive and even give anger and judgment. Stephen Covey says, we judge ourselves by our intentions and others by their behavior. We believe our actions are justified. We believe that our intentions are pure. And so even when we make a mistake, we're quick to justify it. We're quick to explain it away and all the reasons why we made that mistake. But we rarely give that same grace to others. Instead, we make assumptions about that person's character. We say they're annoying. That person is an inconsiderate jerk. They should have been paying more attention. Why didn't they think about this? And we're slow to give others the same kind of grace that we give ourselves, the kind of grace that we want others to give us. And over time, that log in our own eye, it grows and it becomes bigger and bigger. And as it grows, we just continue to become more and more judgmental of others. And as we become more judgmental, we find ourselves more easily angered. And as we are more easily angered, then we're more easily offended, which makes us just even more judgmental of those around us. And the cycle goes on and on to where it's so easy for us to be offended and come to believe, man, everyone is annoying but me. So how do we break free from this cycle that we're in? Again, it all comes down to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can change that default setting inside of us. And today I want to give us just one practical step for how Jesus can come in and change that because it seems very abstract. Yes, Jesus can change us, but how can he change us? And so here's one tip just for today. Curate what you consume. Man, I think that if we chose to do this, it could be a game changer for us when it comes to how we interact with the world. Curate what you consume. Choose wisely what you feed your heart and your mind and your soul with, because what you put in you is eventually going to come out of you. Last couple of months have been pretty chaotic in my life. Just it's been filled with, like I was telling someone this morning, it's things and things that I want to be consumed by. Like there's nothing that I'm going, I just wish that this would be over. Like it's the things that I want to give my time and my energy and my exhaustion to, but it's just been kind of taking a toll. And so we've had this big project at home that we've been working on. We're working on some things here in the ministry, and that's been awesome, but it has just been full. And in fact, my buddy David Shunk, we follow each other on Apple Fitness, and so he's like able to track my activity, and he sent me a message this last week circling all of my closed rings. And it's like, how's my boy doing? I'm like, not good, not good. And during that time, I stopped running, I stopped cycling, I stopped exercising because I was up late at night working on a project. I was up early in the morning getting started, the day going. And so I stopped doing these things that were those healthy routines that are my greatest stress relievers to my body and my mind and my soul. And I can look back on my Strava and say, yeah, February 20th, like that was the day when it all just kind of stopped. And I've just been wallowing in this place of just exhaustion. And instead of walking back to those places that I know are healthy and that bring stress relief to my mind and my body and my soul, I actually turned down a dark path during that time that led me straight to ice cream. Someone told me after the 8 o'clock service, Sean, ice cream is not sinful. And I was like, no, it's not. But my relationship with it was. It's not good. And ice cream became my stress reliever. I'd get to the end of the day. Oh, don't judge me. I'd get to the end of the day and I'd start craving ice cream, right? And it didn't help that somebody, and this is gonna sound so weird, but somebody introduced the beauty of getting a bowl of ice cream and pouring some milk in it. And if you know, you know. But as you scrape off a little bit, it crystallizes. And then you scrape off and it crystallizes. Mm, so good. And that just like fed my addiction. And so we'd be putting the girls to bed at night and I'm thinking, oh, it's almost ice cream time. And I go up and everybody would be like, okay, good night, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, okay, good night. And she's like, you're gonna go get ice cream, aren't you? I'm gonna go get ice cream. And so I'd go and I'd get it. And I just found that this was a thing that I was going to, a functional savior in a sense, to rescue me from that stress that I was feeling. And an interesting thing happens to your body when you stop managing stress in healthy ways and start feeding it a whole lot of ice cream. Your body reacts to that. And so I'd wake up feeling sore and have headaches, and I was always tired. And the reason is because I was feeding my body junk food. I was not curating what I was consuming. And what's true for our bodies is true for our minds and our hearts and our souls. What you consume will determine how you feel. And so if you find yourself walking around feeling annoyed all the time, being easily angered, easily offended, you might want to ask yourself this question: what am I feeding my soul? Are you constantly consuming the junk food of social media, news? Or are you feeding on the word of God and allowing Jesus to transform you through it? When we evaluate what we consume, I think many of us would find that we are being discipled by our favorite cable news personality more than we are Jesus. I think it's one of the reasons why when the world looks at the church today, they see a party rather than a person, rather than Jesus. They see the ways that we've aligned ourselves with a personality, with our politics, rather than with Jesus, because we're consuming
we're consuming that more than we are him. We're being discipled by those things more than we're being discipled by Jesus. We're being influenced more by social media than we are scripture. And when we look at our world through the window of social media and news and politics, it is so easy to become offended and angry by the actions of others. And so it begins to consume us as we consume it. And so what we consume then eventually comes out of us. And we find ourselves angry and annoyed. I'll tell you, when I look in the mirror of God's word, I see myself. I see my sin. When I look through the mirror of God's word, I find myself becoming offended by my own actions, by my own sinful heart. I see the planks in my eye. And so I'm not quite as angry or judgmental when I see some specks in the eyes of others. I'm learning to take the mercy and the grace that God has shown me and share it with others. And I find myself some seasons I get it wrong a lot more than I get it right. But the desire is for the word of God to transform me, to transform us, and to take the mercy and grace that we have received in Christ and allow it to influence the way that we treat those around us who can sometimes be just as annoying as me. And Jesus wants to change the default setting of your heart, and he's a lot more interested in changing you than he is in you going out and trying to change others. He's a lot more interested in showing the ways that you anger and offend others than he is you going out and pointing out all the ways that others anger and offend you. In Jeremiah 17:9, God tells us what the default setting of our heart is. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And we want to say, follow your heart, listen to your heart. And the Lord who loves you, who knows you better than yourself, says, no, your heart is deceptive and you can follow it, but you're probably not going to like where it leads you. It's only going to add to the brokenness in your life and in this world. And the problem with the deception in our heart is not that it fools other people into believing that you're a good person. The problem with the deception in your heart is that it fools you into believing that you're a good person. And when you believe that, then it is really easy to start thinking that you're a better person. And it's really easy to start looking down on others and develop this judgmental attitude. If we ever need to be reminded of the true default settings of our heart, of who we are, all we have to do is look to the cross. Because when we look to the cross, the verdict is clear. I am not a good person, and neither are you, but Jesus is. And through his life, death, and resurrection, we can be made righteous. It is the only thing that makes us good. Not self-righteous. We're going to talk about that next week. We can be made right in the eyes of God. And when we realize all that we have been forgiven of through Jesus, and it changes the way that we look at the world around us. And we take the grace that we have received, and it becomes a little easier to extend that grace to others. We're going to come into our response time, and if you're ready to maybe receive that grace of Jesus for the first time, we're going to have a baptism here at this service. Water's open. We'd love to help you take that next step in your life too. Maybe you'd need to just confess to somebody all the ways that you have been consumed by anger and easily offended, and we'll have people around the room with lanyards on that would love to pray with you and just be that safe place where you can open up. And no judgment, because we all know what we've got in our own life. We just want to come alongside of you. You can pray. Maybe the person that you need to confess to is not someone else, but the person sitting next to you. And you can do that during this time as well. We'll have communion up here. And this is just that chance to say, yeah, man, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. I could not be saved without it. However you need to respond this morning, we want to give you the time to do that now. So I'm going to pray and then we can move into this time. Jesus, thank you for the ways that your word offends me. And it makes me look in a mirror to see all the things in my own heart and life that you still desire to do to change me more into the image of you. And so, Lord, I pray that for us as a church, we will take this seriously, what it is that we are consuming and who it is that we are becoming. And Lord, I pray that the people in this world who are far from you will see you in us. Jesus, you saved your harshest criticism for the religious who thought that they were righteous. And so sermons like these and texts like these, they step on our toes and they're convicting. But thank you that out of love, you are shaping us and molding us. And sometimes it hurts, but you're chipping away at that old to make room for the new. And Lord, I pray in the spirit of you, Jesus, that we will go out not with judgmental attitudes for this world. As Paul says, who are we to judge what the world does? But that is the kindness of God who leads us to repentance. And so, Lord, may your kindness for others flow through us to those who are hurting and broken and who need you just as much as we do. So speak to us in this time now, Lord, whatever it is that you are wanting to do. Shape us and mold us more into your image, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message from Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. Did you know you can watch all of our video content, both current and past, on our YouTube channel? Visit youtube.com/Sherwood Oaks to watch messages, series, and complete worship services.